I just wish this war would stop. Yemeni IDPs suffer as Saudi Arabia pounds the country, increasing its attacks in recent weeks and inflicting more civilian casualties and destruction of infrastructure, according to the United Nations. Kuwait UN-led talks were called a, quote, media stunt once the UN presented a no-compromise deal that gave Saudis all they wanted while ignoring others' demands. As dead civilians pile up, infrastructure is destroyed and famine is in the air, Hadi works to derail the Yemeni central bank, while the U.S. and the U.K. blatantly arm the Saudi dictatorship. Yet the Yemeni people's defense continues unabated, targeting Saudi border regions as costs for Saudis add up, and a Wahhabi cleric begs citizens to financially help the attacks on Yemen. That and a lot more in this debate. Our guests for this debate, we're joined with Ms. Hafsa Kara Mustafa, who is a journalist and Middle East analyst, and she's joining us live from London. And we're also joined by Mr. Richard Millett, who is a journalist and political commentator, and he is also joining us live from London. Thank you both for joining us for this debate. Mr. Millett, I'll start with you. The UN says violence has escalated in Yemen as Saudi attacks and just the recent ones have killed 16 in Sana'a, 50 in an attack on a wedding in a village, and 14 in an attack on a potato chip factory. What do you believe is behind this escalation?
Well, the UN spokesman that you showed on your clip there, she did also go on to blame both sides for what's been happening, for the civilian deaths. It's been said by her that up till the end of July, that most of the civilian deaths were caused by the Houthi Shia Iranian backside. And after that, while the Saudis retaliated after there were cross-border attacks from Yemen into Saudi Arabia, and they resumed their attacks from the air. And it's been an absolute devastating tragedy for the civilians who have been caught in the middle. And as you said, yep, there have been terrible attacks from the air by the Saudis, but there have also been terrible attacks from the ground by the Houthi rebels. So you can blame both sides. And unfortunately, like Syria, this is a mini Syria, which hasn't, obviously, for some reason, caught the media as much as Syria has. But unfortunately, if this continues for much longer, it could be getting onto a par with what's been happening with Syria.
Okay, Ms. Kara Mustafa, how do you feel about that? I haven't seen the report that Mr. Millett is referring to, because all reports I've seen put the majority of blame on the Saudi-led coalition, in fact, for civilian casualties.
I haven't either, actually, and we know for a fact that the Saudis are using overwhelming military power. We know that they're being supplied by France and by Western powers, by Britain. And the US, obviously, with the latest very sophisticated weaponry. So whatever the Houthis are using, it doesn't compare to what the Saudis are using. Now, whilst this obvious issue involves the Houthis and involves differences inside Yemen, I think it's very much worth noting that the Houthis are Yemeni, the Saudis are not. The Saudis are actually involved in a conflict and in a situation that simply isn't theirs to be involved in. And I think this is the major problem. Whatever anyone thinks of the Houthi leadership and whatever its legitimacy or not, I think the issue needs to be resolved in-house amongst Yemenis. And the bombing campaign and the bombing raids that are being carried out by Saudi Arabia are only exacerbating a situation and obviously leading it to its continuation. Now, the problem with this is that Saudi is bogged down, and despite its overwhelming military might, it's actually losing. And it's really finding itself very difficult to save face, because in the face of such a weaker opponent, they're still not managing to make any advancement. And so what they're doing is they're resorting to blind attacks, blind bombing, that are essentially making Yemeni civilians the primary target. And I think that really must stop.
Mr. Millett, I'm glad Ms. Hafsa Kara Mustafa brought that up, that the Yemeni defense, because I want to ask you, Mr. Millett, you know, how has the defense that the Yemeni, be it the Ansarullah or be it the allied army forces, have put up? Because, you know, I was looking at the numbers today, and the numbers that are coming out say that at least 100 Saudi forces and civilians have been killed in these retaliatory attacks. And, you know, those retaliations are going deeper and deeper within the kingdom. Certainly that must scare the Saudis.
Well, I mean, this is a tantamount to a civil war. Again, you know, which side do you blame? I don't want to be here supporting Saudi Arabia, but, you know, they're concerned that a takeover of Yemen by, in effect, Iran would place Iran technically on a border with Saudi Arabia from the south. And that you've got the problem in the eastern Saudi Arabia and in Bahrain with the possibility that the Saudis see it, that these areas are also being potentially supported by Iran. As I say, I don't want to support Saudi Arabia, but again, as in Syria, we're seeing something akin to Saudi Arabia versus Iran. These are the two big players in the wars in the Middle East. If these two countries can come together and get around the table and have peace talks, it's okay having sort of local peace talks, which they've tried in Yemen that have broken down and that have failed, and the war that we're seeing has resumed. But at the end of the day, all these sides are being supported by either Saudi Arabia on the one hand or Iran on the other hand. So it's not a case of having little local peace talks or peace plans or peace discussions. You've got to have a global, you've got a Middle Eastern round table discussion between Iran and Saudi Arabia. That's the only way all of the wars in the Middle East are going to come to an end.
Okay, so Mascar Mustafa, I'm wondering, because, you know, Mr. Milder referred to those peace talks, and I actually wanted to ask about that as well. And, of course, the Saudi slash Iran part of this as well. The Saudis, during these peace talks, essentially the deal that was put to the Ansarullah was that was everything the Saudis wanted, disarming of Ansarullah, a returning control to Hadi. There was no compromise here, really. It was just Ansarullah had to give in to everything, and obviously Ansarullah then called it a media stunt, which it does seem like. How do you feel about any prospects for maybe Saudi-Iran roundtable talks about this issue?
Well, let's make one thing clear. Some people seem to obsess about Iran for some bizarre reason, but whatever the support Iran may be giving to the Houthis, Iran isn't actively fighting inside Yemen, which is what Saudi is doing. So this isn't a conflict actually between Iran and Saudi. This is a conflict between Yemen and Saudi. There are numerous people who may support the Houthis, either morally or even with some form of technical support. And there are others who support the other side. But Saudi Arabia is physically involved in the conflict, so it isn't on a par with Iran. And just to touch on the point about eastern Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, I suspect my co-panelist is mentioning the Shia population of Saudi Arabia. These are Saudis. These are the Saudi Arabs first and foremost, not Iranians. Just because they happen to be Shia doesn't make them in any way, shape or form some sort of fifth column of Iran. They are Saudi nationals, and they're patriotic Saudis for that matter. That they may have an issue if they're corrupt leadership is something that many across Saudi Arabia may have, whether Shia or Sunni, and therefore that is hardly an issue. But coming back to the conflict, I fully agree. I think this is a media stunt designed to show that Saudi Arabia is somewhat giving in, and in fact the other side has nothing in return, and it is almost an encouragement for conflict to continue, because of course when one side is deprived of everything and the other is offered everything, I think this will lead to resentment and obviously an escalation.
Okay, I just wanted to take a quick time out. Our viewers have been taking part in this conversation online. Let's listen to those comments and we'll be right back.
There's a big difference between offense and defense. Yemenis are on their land defending, while Saudi Arabia is crossing a border on another's territory. If they were blasting schools, infrastructure in Saudi Arabia, then Saudis might have a pity card to play, but it's the other way around. Is the Saudi government fighting the Houthis or the Yemeni army? A ceasefire should be called so the UN can go in and deliver food, medical care, and check on the welfare of the elderly and families. An embargo on Saudi Arabia and all nations associated with Saudis participating in human rights violations in their campaign. That is the right thing to do. Possible way to end Yemen violence. 1. Iran should stop supplies of military aid to Yemen for possible strike into Saudi. 2. Iranian leaders should stop instigating violence between Yemen and Kingdom of Saudi. Washington is behind setting the stage for this latest terrorist farce in Iraq, Syria, Egypt, Bahrain, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Yemen. This is just the way Washington does business, by twisting arms and breaking legs. Everybody knows this. I think this is not the way of Islam for resolving issues. Saudi Arabia is taking the path of Israel by knowing that killing a single innocent is just like killing whole humanity. The UNSC is quiet about all this aggression. Being a US puppet comes with privileges.
Just some of our viewer comments. Mr. Millett, one of our viewers there, speaking about Iran in critical terms, saying it's providing Ansar Allah with arms. And in fact, a UK MP, Tobias Elwood, just recently accused Iran of arming Ansar Allah. I wanted to get your reaction because, you know, when you put that into context of the fact that Britain itself, as well as, of course, the United States, are defending their arms sales, the very publicly admitted arms sales to the Saudis, and, you know, the Saudis we know very well are using those arms in places like Yemen. Isn't that all very hypocritical then on the part of you know, the UK and the US to be speaking to Iran in critical terms, but then doing the exact same thing, providing Saudis with arms which it's using on civilians?
Well, that viewer that you quoted totally disagrees with what Hafsa said. You know, it might not be the Iranian army in Yemen, but it in effect is Iranian weaponry supporting the Houthis. So either way, it amounts to the same thing. Iran is fighting inside Yemen. And I agree on the second part of what you said. Yeah, there is a problem. The British government has to look at what's been going on, the supply of weapons, and America have got to look at more of a controlled supply of weaponry to Saudi Arabia to make sure that the weaponry supplied to Saudi Arabia is not being used inside Yemen. And there are many, many questions to be answered. And you're absolutely right. That question has to be addressed. Now, there's been a change of prime minister, as you well know, over the last couple of months. We've got a new prime minister, and we have to wait to see what Theresa May, how she reacts to what's been taking place in Yemen over the last couple of months. We'll have to wait and see now what her policy is going to be, whether there's going to be much stricter controls on supply of arms to Saudi Arabia. And I think that the only problem is then Saudi Arabia would turn elsewhere to someone potentially like Russia. But you're right, there are questions Britain and America have to address in this, in the midst of what is happening to the civilians in Yemen.
Okay, so Ms. Kara Mustafa, I wanted to ask you, of course, about what Tobias Elwood said, and I wanted to add this on because, you know, Rand Paul, actually a US senator, he's a Republican senator, is actually working to block arms sales to Saudi Arabia. He's working on a bill right now. But the Saudis have come out full-fledged against him, especially on social media. Their trolls are out in large numbers on his social media accounts trying to block that. But he is trying to stop those sales because of human rights concerns. Do you think that the West maybe is getting the message finally?
Well, let's just pick up on something that I found incredibly disingenuous. The fact that there even are Iranian arms in Yemen somehow indicates that Iran is fully involved. But the fact that there are very officially American, British and French arms in Yemen somehow is merely a question that needs to be addressed. And I think this is the hypocrisy we're seeing across the West, which is that when there is some support from Iran, it almost implicates the entire nation because of that. But although British and American arms are very officially and openly used in the conflict in Yemen, it's merely a contention point that has to be addressed. Well, if we can consider that Iranian arms used by the Houthis actually suggest that Iran is fighting in this war, then that actually means that the Americans and the British are also fighting in this war. And in fact, the Houthis are not only faced with the Saudi military, but they're actually fighting the US, Britain, and all these Western superpowers which are armed to the teeth. So this really makes the case even more poignant for the civilians of Yemen, because they're having to fight overwhelming military might with very, very little weaponry. Coming back to your point about a change of heart from Saudi Arabia, from Western opinion, I don't think there is, because the reason what is happening at the moment across the West is that the West simply isn't being informed about what happens in Yemen. There is very little appetite from Western audiences from what is happening in Yemen. And the reason why a complicit media isn't providing enough information is because on the backdrop of this conflict, very, very large sums of money are being made by the military-industrial complex. Just yesterday, as an indication, $1 billion worth of arms were sold by the U.S. to Saudi Arabia. That's just yesterday, $1 billion worth of arms. 6 months ago, 1.5 billion euros were sold by the French to Saudi Arabia. Again, arms that are used in this conflict. So because of the huge amounts of money that are being made by complicit Western governments in this conflict, Western media isn't actually providing the information to Western audiences who, in light of the violations of human rights, might react and might oppose this conflict. But because they're not being informed, they're not reacting accordingly.
Okay, so Mr. Millett, you know, we do want to give the details, in fact, of those arms sales that Ms. Kara Mustafa has spoken about. And the details of that are that, and within the arms sales, within that $1 billion which the U.S. will be making, it'll be selling tanks to the Saudis, which within the fine print says that the Saudis have actually lost those tanks or they're being destroyed, and that has obviously been through retaliatory attacks by Yemeni forces. I'm wondering, many people are asking, though, that by supplying more tanks to the Saudis, and tanks which are designed for ground incursions, do you think the Americans are almost encouraging a ground incursion on the parts of the Saudis into Yemen?
Well, as I said, originally there were concerns. Hafsa has kind of misunderstood what I said. You know, the fact that you're questioning, you're raising Tobias Elwood as criticizing the supply of arms by America and Britain to Saudi Arabia, and there is now a media oversight, a media questioning of what has been going on after the latest civilian casualties in Yemen. It's something you wouldn't get in Iran. I mean, what happens, let's say, if Britain, America, quite rightly, stops supplying Saudi Arabia with such weaponry or puts huge limitations on the supply of that weaponry, saying it mustn't be used in Yemen? What, you know, hypothetically, let's say that happens, what's going to happen on the other side? Iran will just continue supplying the Houthis with more weaponry, and there'll be eventually a takeover of Yemen by the Houthis. I'm not here to defend Saudi Arabia, but, you know, this is the argument Saudi Arabia, this is their concern. Iran being on the Saudi Arabian's southern border. Surely even Hafsa can see the logical, the concern that would cause to Saudi Arabia. It is a problem. Hafsa wants to look at one side. She wants to criticize one side only. I'm criticizing the Saudis and the Iranians. There has to be stopping supply of weaponry from to the Saudis and from Iran. They have to stop the Iranian weapons getting to the Houthis. Now, once they are stopping those weaponry, then we can get some sort of peace agreement or peace negotiations going. And in the meantime, the civilians will have the aid, humanitarian aid, and they'll stop being killed. Surely that's logical. You just, in this situation, in a war that's going on, you just cannot look at one side like Hafsa is intent on doing, and obviously she's intent on defending Iran and the Houthis, who are also complicit in the slaughter of many Yemeni civilians.
Okay, we just have under a minute left, so Ms. Kara Mustafa, I want to get you a time to respond to that as a final comment. Go ahead.
Well, there's just one sentence that I found quite hilarious, which was when Mr. Millett said the Houthis taking over Yemen. The Houthis are Yemeni. The Houthis are in their country. The Houthis
Iran.
Can do whatever they want
Iran.
Because it is their country. You said Houthis
Iran.
Taking over Yemen. I didn't interrupt you. And therefore, the Houthis have all the right in the world to be in their country. It's the Saudis who are violating Yemeni sovereignty, not Iranians. Whether the Houthis are gaining support from outside is irrelevant. The Houthis are fighting inside their country. Saudi Arabia is fighting outside its country and inside Yemen. Now, one point about the huge sums that are being spent, and I think this is a message especially that should go out to people from the Middle East, people from both the Arab and the Muslim world, which is that £3 billion so far have been spent on arms. Imagine if all that money was actually spent on reconstructing Yemen, on actually rebuilding infrastructure, on providing schools and hospitals for one of the poorest nations on the planet. Imagine how great that money would be.
Okay,
if it was spent on Yemen
apologize,
and not
Congress,
on
if,
arms.
Unfortunately, the clock has gotten the best of us, but we do sincerely appreciate both your contributions to this debate. That was Ms. Hafsa Kara Mustafa, who was speaking to us live from London. She's a journalist and Middle East analyst, and we were also joined by Mr. Richard Millett, who is a journalist and political commentator, and he was speaking to us live from London as well. And of course, viewers, we of course, as always, appreciate your insights as posted in our social media. And of course, for watching. Until next time, good night.